Welcome to the Parrot Care Sessions, produced by Talking Naturally, exclusively for the World Parrot Trust. This is a series of in-depth conversations with leading experts, helping you to discover better ways to live with and care for your feathered friends. Hello, today on the Parrot Care Sessions, I'm joined by Dr. Scott Eccles, a board-certified avian veterinary specialist, adjunct professor at Texas A&M College of Veterinary Medicine, a past president for the Association for Avian Veterinarians, a frequent lecturer at multiple universities and conferences in the US and abroad, as well as an author and filmmaker. His forays into filmmaking led him to establish Avian Studios, where he creates educational media that help teach people about the changes they can make to improve and enrich the lives of their companion parrots. Go to www.avianstudios.com for videos, blogs, and other information on bird care and interesting avian topics. Okay, over the next 30 minutes, Scott and I will be discussing anesthesia and surgery, an emotive subject for many owners, no doubt. But as Scott, a highly experienced vet, of course, will explain, both anesthesia and surgery techniques and procedures are improving all the time and have never been safer. Dr. Scott Eccles. Scott, welcome to the Parrot Care Sessions. It's great to have you back again, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you. Yes, and I'm very happy to be back here. Thank you.
Okay, anesthesia and surgery. I would guess that most bird owners and most bird watchers come to that don't give much thought about anesthetics and birds until a time arises when they've, for example, rescued an injured bird that requires surgery, or have a companion bird that requires surgery. But when that time does arise, I can imagine the anxieties that will be created. So what we'll do in this webinar is explain what anesthesia is and why it's used, discuss when and why a vet would consider surgery, and talk about what we can do to help a bird recover after a surgical procedure. So Scott, let's start off the conversation with a question that perhaps sounds obvious, but let's get our colours nailed firmly to the mast, as it were. When a bird, a companion bird or indeed a wild bird, needs surgery, who should we be taking that bird to?
Well, good question. I think we should start by saying you really want to have that done by someone who has experience working with birds and more specifically with anesthesia and surgery. So as an example, you probably would not take your child to have a fracture repaired by a dermatologist.
And, good point.
So may sound obvious, but, you know, and I realize that there are some areas that there is not a bird specialist, and that is certainly understandable. What I would try to do is find someone who has experience with birds. The best way to do that is to contact the Association of Avian Veterinarians, mm-hmm. and you can go to their website, www.aav.org, and they can help you with finding an avian veterinarian in your region. And it's not just the United States, it's all over. So they have a list of veterinarians and members of the association that can be found worldwide. So first thing is find a person who is experienced with birds. And if your veterinarian is not comfortable with bird surgery or anesthesia, ask for a referral if that's possible. And then last, there will be some areas where that is just not an option. You cannot drive 5 to 6 hours to find a bird veterinarian, and you have to work with the veterinarian and do everything that veterinarian will hopefully do everything he or she can to do the best job as possible.
Sure. As a rule of thumb, Scott, do all veterinarians get training in surgery and in anesthetic procedures for birds?
Well, not for in birds, but as a part of veterinary school, it is standard curriculum to get anesthesia and surgery training, at least the basics. However, birds are very different, and that is more specialized training. Now, you can get that in some veterinary schools, especially if you have a special interest in birds and take additional classes. However, it is not standard curriculum in veterinary schools.
Scott, I know this is only a 30-minute podcast, and perhaps I shouldn't even ask this question, but when you said there that birds are very different to other animals that a vet might work on, is it possible to quickly summarize what those differences are?
Sure, I can probably do a quick summary. The major there's two major differences, and they're huge. The anatomy is different, and the physiology is different. And the anatomy being different means their respiratory system is very different. Their cardiovascular or heart system, there are a lot of similarities, but their respiratory system is very different. And that does account for changes that we must make compared to cats and dogs when doing or performing anesthesia on a bird. The physiology is different in that birds respond to medications very differently in many cases than cats and dogs. And of course, our drugs that we have available are really geared towards mammals. They're not designed for birds. So we are adapting mammalian medicine and applying that towards birds based on what we understand of physiological variations and how birds respond to different drugs. So those are major differences. Again, just how the bird is designed and how it responds to different drugs.
Thank you. The subject to which drugs a vet might use is something we'll definitely be returning to.
Okay.
In the meantime, though, can I ask you a broader question? What kind of surgeries would an avian vet normally perform?
Okay, if you think of certainly common procedures, so let's say a bird is damaged by another animal, attacked by another animal, and has lacerations on the skin. Those might require very simple suturing techniques. And then we get more advanced fractures and bones. Well, bones oftentimes need to be surgically stabilized and repaired, just like with other animals. And then we can do just about any surgery on a bird that you can imagine with other animals, and that includes some heart-related procedures, of course, full exploratory surgeries, lung surgery. I've even performed brain surgery, as have other people. So if you can think that it can be done, it is certainly possible that it can be attempted at least.
I have to say, Scott, I'm finding it hard to imagine surgery on something so delicate and so small as a bird's brain. That must be incredibly fiddly work to perform.
Well, I can tell you, just from my own experience, trauma is the most common thing. So skull fractures and kind of stabilizing those. There are outside reports of brain tumors and other things that have been surgically operated on in birds.
That's an amazing thought. Scott, before we move away from these more general questions, is there anything that we as an owner would need to do to prepare our bird before it's brought to a vet for surgery?
Okay, well, let me break it into two situations. There's the emergency situation, and then there is the planned surgery. Now, in general, we think of planned surgeries, like with cats or dogs, to come in to be spayed or neutered, or those are type of routine procedures, and they're usually scheduled well in advance. We don't get as many of those with birds. However, there are situations where we know that this bird is going to undergo an exploratory surgery. The bird is stable, and what an owner can do is work with the veterinarian to make sure that that bird is in as good health as possible prior to going into surgery. This may mean improving the diet. This may mean exercising the bird. It may mean getting the bird to lose some weight in preparation for surgery. And you can think of the same things with other animals or people.
Sure, yeah.
So not all surgery is an emergency. An emergency surgery, again, we have a fracture, we have a serious wound, we have something we have to take care of right then and there. Well, there is no preparation. We've got to go in and do the best we can. But there are a number of cases where we can work with the owner and get the bird in better shape, physical shape, prior to going into surgery.
Right. And Scott, listening to your explanation there, I'm sure you must get asked this all the time. Owners must be curious. Can an owner come in and watch their bird having surgery?
It's a good question. I get this question frequently. My general recommendation is no, and I'll tell you why. First of all, I have actually witnessed people passing out during surgery. When a veterinarian is in surgery, our goal is to concentrate on the animal. It is not to worry about the owner. And if we're concerned about the owner's health and well-being, that's going to be very distracting. I do get this question a lot, and I personally do not allow people to come into surgery suite. The other thing is the surgery suite should be a sterile location. It is not a location for people to view. Now, if you have a window or something like that, and somebody wants to watch them outside, and they can set it up such as that's possible, well, that may be okay. But my general recommendation is no. However, other veterinarians have different opinions on that.
Sure, and I would have thought most people would think that's just common sense. Scott, let's turn to look at anesthesia itself now. What do we actually mean by anesthesia, and how does anesthesia differ from pain medication per se?
Okay, well, sometimes they're one and the same, but anesthesia just means without sensation, and it is the process of more or less blocking the sensation of feeling. Okay, so let me explain that, and I'll differentiate that specifically from pain medication. So anesthesia is generally broken into several different groups. You have local anesthesia. So think about going to the dentist and they give you an injection of Novocaine or some other drug and it blocks a couple teeth. That is local anesthesia. Then you have regional anesthesia, and the best example I can give is an epidural. It blocks a larger region or area where you don't feel pain or you don't feel much of anything. And then there is systemic anesthesia. That is where your whole body is unconscious, and that's what you think about it when you're undergoing a major surgery. You're completely out, and a doctor can perform just about anything, and you won't know anything that's happened. And then there's different types. You have dissociative anesthesia, where the nerve transmission is blocked from going to the brain, so there's no recollection of this happening. However, that does not indicate pain control. And then you have paralytic anesthesia. That's where the muscles to a region are paralyzed such that they cannot move during surgery. And that's most commonly with eye surgery and a few other things. But again, those forms don't impart any type of pain medication. So pain medication works on multiple different levels and it takes away the consciousness and stops the transmission, the nerve transmission, such that pain is not felt. If someone does surgery on an animal and they're just under anesthesia, pain is still occurring and you will feel that when you wake up. All right. So we use pain medications during surgery to block that transmission of pain. Even though the patient is unconscious and wouldn't feel it, it decreases the level of pain when they recover, when they wake up. So a well-balanced protocol of anesthesia and pain medication, also called analgesia, occurs before, during, and after the painful episode or surgery.
That's a fantastic explanation, Scott. Thanks so much. A question does occur to me, though. When you say that we are administering anesthesia, does that mean that surgery normally requires a team? In other words, does, say, an assistant administer the anesthetics while the vet performs the surgery?
That's a really good question because, yes, there's typically a team involved. You typically have, as you said, a nurse or an assistant helping, giving medication before surgery. They may be helping with preparing the animal for the procedure and the veterinarian. And sometimes there's even two veterinarians or more involved in a surgery. In some situations, some of the procedures require two people. And also, there's sometimes teaching situations where we have other veterinarians watching, participating, and so forth. So usually there's at least two or three people in a procedure with any animal, really, not just birds.
So, Scott, how do you as a vet decide when anesthesia should be used?
Well, it depends on the procedure and in part the level of pain and also the anticipated length of procedure. There are some things that we do that we know are very short term. So, for example, let's say that we need to take an X-ray of a bird, or we need to wrap the wing of a bird. Very short, quick procedure. I might use a very brief anesthetic protocol, and just enough to get that bird under anesthesia for a few moments to do the procedure and then wake it up. So I want something that will act very quickly and the bird will recover from very quickly, as opposed to a procedure that's going to be more lengthy and more involved, more painful. We may have more monitoring tools. We may have more other types of surgical support, such as intravenous fluids or intraosseous fluids and blood pressure monitoring and so forth. So it does depend on the procedure as to determine what type of anesthesia and, again, pain medication we'll be using.
Can I infer from that answer, Scott, that there will also be a range of different types of anesthetics that you can use?
Yes. You know, there are different type of anesthetics we use in birds, and again, they do depend on the procedure. In general, we can divide them into injectable and oral anesthetics, and then also inhalant anesthetics. So the injectable ones, obviously, we're going to inject them into the muscle, we're going to inject them into the vein or the bone, and then there are a few oral anesthetics, rarely given in birds, but there are some out there. And then we have inhalant anesthetics, where we're actually putting the anesthetic through the air that the animal will be breathing under anesthesia. More commonly, we use inhaled anesthetics for the reason that they are metabolized and processed very rapidly, which means the birds go under anesthesia quickly and they recover quickly.
Well, that's quite a range, Scott, and I would guess that the question many owners will be asking is just how safe are the anesthetics used on birds?
Okay, this is the big question because, you know, anytime we put an animal under anesthesia, whether it's a human, an animal, a pet, one of the most common side effects that you hear about with anesthesia is death. And that has to be a reality and should be considered. Anytime we put an animal under anesthesia, we are controlling a very delicate plane between life and death. The safety is in how well we are able to monitor that bird and control its anesthetic level under anesthesia. That's one thing. So that's kind of like operator skill and ability. The second one is the health of the bird. So if we take a bird into surgery and it's got liver problems, kidney problems, heart problems, lung problems, whatever it may be, that will put it at further risk for anesthetic complications. And again, the most common one being death. So how safe are our anesthetics today? Actually, they're very safe. The drugs that are currently available, even though they're not designed for birds, we know and understand enough about them to use them very safely in birds. So the good news is that if you have someone who's experienced with bird anesthesia and bird surgery, the recovery rate from those procedures are typically very good.
Scott, you've really helped us understand already, I think, the higher risks faced by an unhealthy bird undergoing surgery. Can I ask you, assuming that the bird is healthy, is fit, do the risks of complications or side effects increase or even decrease depending on the bird's size or weight or even what species of parrot it is?
In part, yes. And this, again, goes back to how we are conducting anesthesia. So a smaller bird, for example, is going to lose body heat much more rapidly than a larger bird. So we accommodate this by providing secondary heat supply while the bird is under anesthesia. A younger bird is going to become dehydrated more quickly than an older bird. And again, we're going to compensate for that. So every species of bird is different in their anatomy, in their physiology, how they react to medications. And our goal as anesthesiologists and surgeons is to be able to adjust with those changes, make appropriate changes to those issues, and then keep that bird alive while under anesthesia.
Is there a particular species that comes to mind, Scott, that's harder to work on, or do all parrot species react in the same way to anesthetics?
Species react differently, although, again, we have a lot of very safe anesthetics, and we have I would say a good degree of predictability about what a bird will do with most of our inhalant anesthetics. So those seem to be fairly consistent. The injectable ones we see the greatest variation on. There are some interesting species variations. So, for example, a lot of times we put a tube into the windpipe of a bird called intubation, and it's done with humans as well. And sometimes we use a mask because either the trachea or the windpipe is too small to safely place a tube, or maybe there's something going on within the windpipe. So, for example, some birds have a bifurcation or a split in their windpipe that makes it difficult to place a tube. Some of them have a little fleshy projection at the base of their windpipe, which also makes it difficult to place a tube. Sometimes we're dealing with head and neck surgery, and we don't have the option to put a tube into their windpipe, so we actually put a tube into the side of their body, into the air sac. And again, this is an anatomic variation that birds have. We cannot use that with certainly cats or dogs or other mammals, but with birds, it's almost like having a second entry that we have an option to use. So yes, there are definite variations between the species. It also we also have to adjust depending on the type of procedure we're doing.
This is fascinating, Scott. It really is. Scott, we've spoken a number of times for other parrot care session programs, and you've often explained that the science of bird care is rapidly evolving. Have there been improvements, or perhaps refinements might be a better word, in anesthetics and the ways that you can use them to perform surgeries like the ones you just described?
Absolutely. I think in the area of anesthesia and pain management, we're seeing a tremendous amount of interest and research. And this is fabulous because pain medication and pain control has been a very problematic subject in birds, in part because, again, as I mentioned, drugs are designed for mammals. They're not designed for birds. So we're at the mercy of what's available for the mammalian market and trying to figure out how to make those work for the bird that we're working on. And in the terms of pain receptors, what we understand is that birds have very different pain receptors. So a lot of the common drugs that we think of for controlling pain, and I'll just throw out morphine and fentanyl, these really high-powered opioid-type drugs that we commonly think these are great pain drugs, they don't work well in birds. They have minimal, if any, effect. And we have to use different classes of pain medications. And we have a long way to go, honestly. The good news is that information keeps coming out, and every year we get more and more interest in research on pain control. So, in terms of pain management, I think the future is very bright, and I think it's going to be rapidly changing for birds. In terms of anesthesia, again, I think we have a pretty good handle on the anesthetic gases that are available and use and can be used very safely in birds. As far as techniques, we learn new techniques, like we learn how to monitor and watch for heart abnormalities. We learn to control fluid rates and heat and temperature and blood pressure and all these other things. We learn to control those much better. And all of that has changed just in the past 10 years. And I look at how I performed anesthesia, not just surgery, but anesthesia 10 years ago. It's very different than how I perform anesthesia on birds today. And I suspect in the next 5 to 10 years, I will learn new techniques and I will modify what I currently do. The ultimate goal is to improve the safety of the bird while under anesthesia.
Which is not to say, of course, that the techniques and the drugs that you now have aren't effective, just that improvements are being made all the time.
That's correct, because they are. We know how to use those drugs at this time, and I would say that we have a very good success rate in terms of an animal getting through anesthesia, managing the pain while under anesthesia, and so forth. And I think we have a very good handle on that. I just expect that it will get better.
That's really reassuring. Thank you. Scott, can we now turn from surgery itself to what can be done to aid recovery after surgery? Firstly, how quickly do birds come round or return to full consciousness from a surgical procedure? And is that something the vet or the team that you have with you controls?
Okay, the interesting thing about birds and the protocols that we currently use, they may recover literally within seconds to a minute after administering gas anesthesia. And that's part of what we look at is safety. How can we control that level? And our goal is to keep them right on that edge of being fully under anesthesia and ready to wake up. So our goal is to kind of balance that fine line. And when we're done with the procedure, I want them to wake up as quick as possible. And literally, birds can be eating up and standing, depends on the procedure, of course, but can be up and standing and acting fairly normal within 30 minutes. And that's quite amazing because you think
That's
about,
remarkable.
yeah, and that's even with some major surgeries, exploratory surgeries and so forth. And to think about a human or a dog or an animal or any other animal going through a major procedure and then being up, walking around, and eating within 30 minutes is quite amazing. So, this is one of those things about birds. Again, they're very different animals, and we have got it down now where we can get a lot of these birds up and out of anesthesia very rapidly. And of course, if we're doing short procedures, as I mentioned, something that may take 5 minutes to apply a cast or a bandage or something like that, those birds are often awake and fully awake like nothing had happened within 30 minutes.
And what would you put that down to?
I think really it's the drugs. The birds metabolize them very rapidly. I think this is just goes back to the variation of the bird itself.
Right, it's fascinating. Scott, from what you're saying, birds are pretty good at getting recovery underway themselves. Presumably, though, there are things that, as an owner, we can do to help our birds over the short and long term.
Well, there are a couple things. First of all, it's going to be up to the veterinary team initially to handle recovery. So they'll oftentimes put the bird in a kind of a warm, dark, quiet place to recover. Usually we hold the birds until we feel like they can stand upright or we can set them in a position that's upright and they can rest during recovery. So, a lot of it has to do with what veterinarians can do immediately after the procedure. There are some things, though, that owners can do when they take their bird home, especially after a major procedure. A lot of times, if we want the bird to remain calm and not climb all over the place, you can simply put your bird into a fish tank or some kind of glass-walled or plastic-walled container. What this does is it prevents the bird from climbing up and potentially falling and injuring itself. And that's one of the things we commonly instruct the owners to do, especially after fracture repairs or major surgery of the belly or something like that. We want this bird to not injure itself further. And a lot of times birds are going to want to climb up, get on a perch, and do what they normally do, but it's not always in the bird's best situation to do that. So that's one thing. Of course, another thing is make sure that food and water is readily and easily available to the birds so they don't have to work to get to it. Also make sure that people, who are going to be around the bird are aware that this was a recent procedure. Maybe you need to take the bird away from other housemates and other animals so as to not stress the bird that just had surgery. So we want to do everything we can to give this bird the full opportunity to recover and return to its normal activity.
And would you normally ask an owner to bring a bird back for a follow-up, for a checkup after surgery?
With major surgeries, yes. With minor surgeries, if we're just putting the bird under anesthesia to maybe put on a bandage or something like that, oftentimes no. We'll always follow up for anything applied to the bird, such as bandages, collars, casts, splints, and so forth. If the bird just had a series of X-rays and everything was fine, we may not need a follow-up. Major surgery, absolutely. I want to make sure that that incision looks good, it's healing, it's not becoming infected, and I want to make sure that bird is not experiencing significant pain or anything else that we feel we can help them with.
Scott, you've done a wonderful job of stressing that the priority of you and your team is the health of the bird at all times, and that anesthesia and surgery is as safe as it can possibly be. I know you've performed many successful surgeries, and I'm sure you're very used to anxious owners coming to surgery and understandably being very concerned. As a final thought, could you offer a few extra words of reassurance to someone listening to this who might one day find themselves in the position of having to bring a much loved bird to a vet for a surgical procedure?
Okay. Well, first of all, bird anesthesia, I know, is very scary for a lot of people. And it's something that we as veterinarians take very seriously because, again, we're balancing life and death. And the good news is birds do very well under anesthesia once we understand how to properly administer. So it's important to talk with your veterinarian and ask that person, are you comfortable with anesthesia? If you have the option, and that veterinarian is not comfortable with anesthesia, consider consulting with another veterinarian or potentially a referral. I think that the vast majority of veterinarians really care about their animals, and they want that animal to come out of anesthesia in as good a shape as possible. So this is where communication is very important. Talk with your veterinarian and understand that good anesthetic protocols are available for birds. Birds can do very well under anesthesia, and they can also go through surgery. I get a lot of anxiety from owners about anesthesia from stories that they've heard and so forth, but we can safely provide anesthetics to birds, and I feel that birds overall are good surgical candidates.
Scott, Dr. Scott Eccles, thank you so much indeed for your time. Again, once again, a really fantastic talk. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Charlie. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to give these presentations, these podcasts.
For more information on Dr. Eccles and his work, please have a look at his website at www.avianstudios.com. For more information about parrots and current conservation efforts, please visit the World Parrot Trust on the web at www.parrots.org, where you can also find more interviews like this one with Dr. Eccles and others by navigating to parrots.org/learn. Finally, for more information about me, Charlie Moores, please visit my website at www.talking-naturally.co.uk.